We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We're going to continue. We paused last week our Seashore Stories series. That's a, say that a lot. Five times fast. Seashore Stories series. But we're going to pick it back up today. So we're going back to part three of our Seashore Story series. And today we're actually going to be headed to the book of Jonah. And the message is called Sailing Off to Tarshish. Whoa! To find my wooden leg. No? Okay. We're in Boston. Sailing off to Boston. Okay. Okay. We're sailing off to Tarshish. I should pray again because no one knows what just happened in that moment. Lord, help me. The Dropkick Murphys is not helping today. Amen. So anyone that understands this story, they understand that Jonah was called to go somewhere, but Jonah decided to go somewhere else. He was called, God had spoken to him to go to Nineveh, but he had to run to Tarshish instead. He chose to run to Tarshish. Jonah's gotta run. Bah, bah, bah. Trouble's just begun. Okay, so the reality is, I've given you two Boston bands, and I've gotten a half an interest. Here we go. Jonah 1. Let's get there. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them. They asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" He said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea." Yeah, think about that for a minute. You have no hope. As long as I'm here, you're in trouble. Throw me into the sea, and then it will become calm. "I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This is really interesting. This isn't even in my notes, but what I do come to know is when God proves a point in your life, whether in the moment it looks good for you or bad for you, sometimes it will make people realize, no, God is at work, and I should pay attention. Just interesting thought here. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights. That is a whale of a problem. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we have some serious problems. I do not know the last time you've had that big and that stinky of a problem. I just read a lot of text for you, but I just like you seeing and getting the whole story straight from the Word. Okay? So when I think about this, Tarshish, it represents a very interesting thing. And we'll dig into this much later, but what Tarshish represents to me is many different things that we're all going through. Many different things that we have all chosen over what God had intended for us. What's your Tarshish? There's so many things that I can dig into, but I just want you to take that thought for a minute. I want you to write it down. There are things in your mind right now that you know that you have been choosing over God's best for your life. That is your Tarshish. And we've got to actually look deep inside and go, God, I want what's best, not what I want. God, I want your best, not just what I want. Hello? Are you getting this today? So I want to talk to you a little bit about Jonah has got to run. Number one, the first thing that clearly comes as I'm looking at the scriptures, I'm reading this, is don't run from God. Don't do it. It never works out. It never works out. This is one of those moments where when I look at the scripture in verse 3, it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. You know, running from God is futile. Running from God is a waste of time. See, how many people know that on this earth, we desire time? More than anything else, I believe we desire time. Because who cares if you become a millionaire tomorrow and die tomorrow? Who cares if you have all the things you've ever dreamed of, but your time is run out? I believe time is the thing that we long most for. We all want to get to heaven, but no one wants to go now. Ain't that right? Everybody want to go to heaven. Nobody want to go now. You don't know that one. I told you I was in the South. So don't run from God. I think it's interesting, though, in the scripture where it says he went down to Joppa. It may simply have just been a direction. Maybe it was south to go where he had to go to get to Joppa. I've actually been there. It's actually, Joppa is now called Jaffa, old Jaffa. But I've been there, and I've had dinner in that port, and I've looked and just gone, really, from here, Tarshish, huh? But the point is, as I've stood there and I've thought about this stuff, it's interesting that as I read this, it says he went down to Joppa, because it reminds me that when we run from God, we find ourselves headed down a treacherous path, a spiraling down of sorts. We naturally, when we do what we want as humanity, we spiral downwards. It's not our natural desire to go against current and do the thing. We want to just please our flesh. Anybody hear that? Hear me. You know, the reality is a lot of things that people are addicted to in this world, it's because it actually releases certain things in the brain that makes them feel good, and their body says, I want more of that. But actually, when we choose to, when we choose to delay gratification, when we choose to do things God's way, what we're saying is, I'm not driven by flesh, I'm actually drawn to the spirits. And it takes discipline to say no to your flesh and to focus on the spirits. It takes discipline to say no to the thing that you obviously want to do that everyone else is doing that the world has claimed is okay. And it takes a lot more discipline to say, no, I'm going to be spirit-minded, for God has something better. I never want to miss God's best for what the world said was good. I don't want to just go with what the world said was good when he has a better for me. Are you hearing me? And so we can't run from God's best. We can, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's futile. If you want to take your life down quick, head down the path of selfishness, head down the path of disobedience, find runaway lane. That's what Jonah said. As soon as, and I gotta admit, how many times has God ever kind of, quickened to your heart? Have you read the scripture and it leaped off the page and you go, but God, I don't want to. How many have ever read the Bible and found a moment where they said, but God, I don't want to. That's what happened. God told him, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh because basically I want you to tell them they're an abomination and I'm about to do something if they don't fix themselves, if they don't straighten up. How many don't like being I don't like giving bad news. I like to be the life of the party, not the downer. And so he's like, that doesn't sound fun. That doesn't sound like an awesome future that I was hoping for. I've just come to realize if God wants to use me, I should just be pleased. He actually knows where I am, wants to use me, and I'll just do what he said, even if it doesn't seem awesome. You know, the thing that I so appreciate so much about the pastors that are surrounding me at this church are our youth pastors, Marco and Jordan Flores, and our children's pastors, Peter and Francie Anderson, is they don't avoid the hard conversations. They don't avoid the hard conversations. They tell me all the time, Pastor, you don't have to step on eggshells. Just tell me what you're thinking. Because for me, I deal with so many people that can't just handle the truth. I've got to sugarcoat it, and I've got to run it through a machine, and I've got to make sure that it's your desired flavor to receive the thing you wanted to hear. You're welcome. Some of you are grape. Some of you are strawberry. Okay? But with these guys, they just tell me how it is. And when we talk through the problems or we hear things that are going on in the ministry, and I say, well, hey, that thing right there, you need to nip that in the bud. You need to make sure that thing, that person, that thing that's going on, you need to handle that, because that right there will become something that will grow and choke out all of the healthy fruit that is trying to happen in the house. And know what happens? They don't go, where's Runaway Lane? I didn't sign up for that. They take a deep breath and go, okay. Not because I'm God, but because they understand what it is to protect the house and what it is to actually protect you from yourself, and you just didn't know what was going on in your world. And so I appreciate them. And the fact is, so many other people just find Runaway Lane. I look at all of the people I went to Bible college with, all the people that graduated in my same class. So many of them graduated to do what I am doing currently, and they're not even in the church anymore. They found Runaway Lane because it was hard to go to Nineveh. They decided to run because Nineveh just seemed harder than they thought. But can I promise you, when they arrived at Tarshish, it was nothing that they thought. That's not in my notes, so second service might not get that. See, early birds get the worm. I'm not necessarily early. I do this on Sunday for y'alls. Number two, running welcomes rough waters. See, you think you're going to go and avoid it, but actually it welcomes it. You think by finding Runaway Lane that you're going to avoid hard times. Jonah thought if he ran, he could escape the consequences. Isn't that how most people feel? I can just say no. I can run away and start over. Nothing bad will happen to me. Nothing bad will happen. See, I often see God allow storms, and in this case, even bring the storm to redirect Jonah. Every time something bad happens in our life, we immediately start cursing the devil. Devil, get behind me! Get underneath me! I don't know where you are, but it's your fault. You're looking under every stone. You're looking in the refrigerator or something you ate last night. Sometimes it was just the fact that we decided to run from God, and he's using a hard time to redirect you, not to hurt you. You go, Chad, that's not in the Bible. I just read it to you. Chad, that doesn't sound like the God I serve. I just read it to you. Chad, I don't think I signed up for that. I just read it to you. God will redirect us any way he has to, and stop cursing the devil for everything bad that goes on in your world and say, God, what are you trying to say? God, what have you allowed into my world to sharpen me? Because how many people want to be sharper? People want to be wiser. They want to be sharper. But guess what? Sharpening takes friction. God, I want to be sharp, but please don't create any friction in my world. It's one of those things. It's like jumbo shrimp. It doesn't exist. Jumbo shrimp do not exist, so you can't say, God, sharpen me, but no friction. I don't know where that came from. It's not my notes. It's a bonus. People are going to leave here and be like, jumbo shrimp. The next service is going to be like, what? Early service gets the shrimp. I got to move on. I often see God allows the storms, and in this case, brings the storms to redirect Jonah. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Your world may be feeling like it's about to break apart. Don't always curse the devil. Am I headed to Tarshish? God's got a Nineveh. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. But when things aren't going well, you've got to question if you're headed the wrong direction. Did you hear right? God, are you still in it? Am I still in the thing that you're trying to do, or am I trying to do something else? Running away welcomes rough waters. Number three, disobedience affects more than just you. See, everyone thinks that they are in some ISO booth. They think they're completely isolated, and whatever they choose, hey, it's only me. And that's unfortunately why so many people, they take their own lives because it's only going to affect me. That's why so many people, they make bad decisions because, well, it's only affecting me. It never only affects you. Hello? And look what it says in verse 5. All the sailors were afraid. Why? Because Jonah was going to Tarshish. All the sailors were afraid. Why? Because the person that was supposed to be doing something else chose to be disobedient to God's word and chose to go and hang with someone else and do something else. And before you know it, it affected everyone else. I believe God's got a great call in everyone's lives. And if you try and thwart it by going down runaway lane, other people around you are even going to be frustrated. They don't even understand. There are those movies where, I think I'd be very, very unchristian if I quoted some of these movies I've seen growing up. But how many people have ever seen Good Will Hunting? You don't have to see it. But either way, he was so brilliant. He was supposed to be doing something amazing with his life. And the reality was all of his friends around him saw that he was just trying to do what they were doing. And they were saying, what is wrong with you? You are brilliant. You are called for better than this. If I see you in this town in 10 years, I'm going to kill you myself. I think we can bring this unrest that can come when we choose to avoid what God's doing and drag other people into it. Disobedience affects more than just you. It says all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Listen, the people around you always pay a price too. I've never heard of a whole family that wasn't affected by adultery. I've never heard of a group of friends not affected by an addict. Our decisions affect other people. Stop isolating yourself. The devil loves to make it for you to think that what you choose only affects you. But man, you affect so many other people that love you. Number 4, the truth always comes to the surface. So many people think they can just hide from the truth. So many people think that when they say no to God, God won't bring it back up. What world do you live on? God, I said no. He's like, but I'm God. Did you hear me? But I'm God. And sometimes you just have to remind yourself, we were created with a purpose. And nothing is ever created without a purpose. Think of all of the engineers. Think of all the inventors. Think of all the creators. When they create something, they have it to have purpose. And so there's nothing worse than something that has a purpose, not doing what it was intended to do. It frustrates the creator. Are you hearing me? God can love us and still be frustrated with us, can he not? So for me, my job as a creation is to do what the creator intended. It reminds me, my life is not my own. Although I have the free will to choose, I choose to please my creator. You with me? And so people think it doesn't matter what they do. You know, the truth won't come to the surface. I'll just deal with this in a sidebar conversation with God. He'll be cool with it, and it's never going to affect anything else. No, the truth always comes to the surface. You can't hide down there forever. It says that, when Jonah went and hid down and fell asleep into a deep sleep, have you ever been so distraught and so full of, anxiety or stress that you fall asleep and you fall asleep hard? It's hard to fall asleep, but when you do, you are out. He was in a deep sleep and he thought that he could hide. But instead it says the captain went below and found him and brought him to the surface. He called him up to the surface, and in verse 7 it says they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah, so they asked him 21 questions. Tell us who's responsible. Tell us where you're from. Who are you? What do you do? What do you about? You know, and they're demanding honesty. They're demanding the truth, and the reality is, if they don't tell him the truth, they might throw him overboard, and if he does tell the truth, now they know they're supposed to throw him overboard. And so he says, look, I'm a Hebrew. My God is the one that created everything you see. I don't know who you serve. I don't know who your God is. But see, my God, he actually controls everything we see. That's what he's telling to them. And they're like, so great. You messed with the God that controls everything. Thanks, Jonah. The truth is going to come to the surface. It says they knew he was running away from the Lord because he told them so. Again, he thought he could just hide this and it would be a problem between him and God. It became a huge problem in his world with people around him. You think the thing that you're dealing with, you think you're Tarshish, you think the thing that you're hiding, you think the thing that you are putting away that no one knows, not only is it going to affect your life, but it's going to hurt those around you. Because God has intended your life to help those around you, and when you're no longer being able to be a help for God, you be a hurt for people. You become a hurt for people. These people were stressed out. They didn't know what to do, but the truth came to the surface. Number five, this is another interesting point. Talking about the solution doesn't fix the situation. Talking about the solution doesn't fix the situation. Is it important to talk about it? Yes, but it's important not to stay just talking. You got to find the solution, but you can't just continue to talk about the solution. You've got to do something to see the solution happen in your life. You've got to do something. And so it says, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? They just asked him like 21 questions. And as he continued to be truthful and as he continued to be honest about the situation, it's not like things were getting calmer. Like, you know, we think as long as, oh, this is deep and this is good and this is, here it comes, ready? We think when we start being honest, things will calm down. When you start being honest, it doesn't mean it calms down until you start acting upon the solution. It says he was honest. They asked him 21 questions. He was finally being honest. Yet the seas were getting rougher and rougher anyway. You say, but God, I stood in your house and I went to the altar and I was honest. Why are things getting worse? And he's saying, because you're still not doing anything about it. That's great. You realize you're not supposed to be headed to Tarshish, but you're still there. But God, I'm being honest. I'm opening up about the situation. Talking about the solution is not the same thing as fixing the situation. In your life, you've talked. There may be people in here, they have talked so much. They've been so honest about their situation, but they haven't gone to the thing that's going to help them. So many people in here, they've been dealing with so many struggles and issues in their world because of serious problems that have happened in their past. And they think tossing up a prayer is going to fix them completely between their ears. Maybe you need to find a great Christian counselor to help you walk through the steps of the thing that's still holding you back, because you can be honest about a situation, but God wants to bring healing, but healing comes through action. Talking about the solution doesn't fix the situation. There's going to be things that you need to do. But Chad, you just told me to go talk to a psychiatrist or to a counselor. Yeah, but he's going to tell you something more to do to help you overcome the thing. Because I believe when we start to say that doctors, I don't need a doctor, I've got faith, I don't need a this, I've got faith. All you're saying is that God's purpose for their life means nothing. You think you're being holy and faithful, but actually what you're saying is that God didn't really create them to do the thing that he does or she does. I will pray with faith. I will stand on his word. And then if it isn't going the way it's supposed to go, I will pray for the hand of the physician. God, let your will be done today in that surgery room. You know, I stood on faith. I believed in you, but I've also got a brain that you gave me. And in this moment, I realize I've got to trust the thing that you created them to do is going to be the thing that releases what I need here. Let them have holy hands in that operating room. Some of you don't know how to think about me right now. But I'm still rocking an Ignited Summerfest t-shirt. The sea was getting in rougher and rougher. I gotta keep going. You get the point on that. Listen to me. Number six, running will always cost you more than trusting. Running will always cost you more than trusting. Listen to me. Not only did he have to pay for the ticket to Tarshish and pay by being thrown overboard. Remember the whale, the problem? How many would say that's a big deal? But everything he had was thrown overboard. This is interesting to me. It says, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. How many know if you are running away from God, you're packing what you would consider a necessity to survive without God? It's interesting to me that in the midst of everything he was going through, in the midst of trying to run away from God, everything he considered necessary to survive without God, God made sure it was out. It didn't just affect him. The sailor's cargo was lost too. Remember how it affects other people? So everyone's stuff's gone. It will always cost you more. Not just the ticket, everything he thought he needed to survive without God. Oh, and now he's thrown overboard. Trusting God and getting on the boat to Nineveh all of a sudden sounded really good. But you can't just rewind and make the right decision, because how many understand hindsight's 20/20? When you're in your future, you can look back and go, yeah, that was stupid. Shouldn't have done that. Oh, man, I'm an idiot. Yep, sorry, God, for there. Sorry. How did I end up here, God? How did you have so much grace to give me an on-ramp after missing all of that? Right? But it's always easier just to trust God and be obedient the first time than having to pay the cost of being disobedient and running away. Man, there are some amazing testimonies of people. I was talking to a guy in, at the conference, and he told me he'd done 12 years. he'd done 12 years in prison for sexual assault and all sorts of issues. And, you know, he found God in an amazing way while he was in prison, and how now he actually he's gone through all of the Bible stuff, and he's trying to prepare himself for a Christian ministry where he helps people with sexual problems. And so, look, but even he told me, he said, look, I understand even in the midst of this, even though God can use it for good, it wasn't my best. Even though now I have the ability to have this ministry where I can help people with this problem, I'm glad God has turned my problem into something that can be beautiful to help other people. But there are 12 years that were lost, and I should have just trusted him the first time and not gone to Tarshish. God can turn your bad for good, but how about we just be obedient to his good the first time and save ourselves however many years? I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm not condemning anyone that's already had a fall, because God can turn it for beautiful. He can turn everything to good for those who believe. But I'm just trying to encourage you not to go to Tarshish. If you know where Nineveh is, don't go to Tarshish. It will always cost you more. Humanity tends to repeat its folly. Have you known that? Notice that? You know, when I think about it, we are creatures of habit, and oftentimes we have a habit of forgetting history and we repeat it. So many have seen hard roads that others have had to take, and they were trying to run from what they were called to, and we saw that it didn't work out well for them. In Jonah's situation, we see how it didn't work out well for Jonah, yet we find in our own lives to repeat history in our own lives. Because we think we can do it better. We think we're faster. We think we can escape God. We think we're slicker. We think we can fly under the radar. We think that God's more gracious now and he's not going to hold us accountable to things, because after all, he's gracious. Do you read the Bible? Don't abuse grace. We love grace. We're thankful for grace. But the reality is, I want to be that person that God goes, I can trust you. I can believe that you're going to do the thing I asked the first time. I want to be that person. No one has favorites if they're a parent, but they also do appreciate the one that listens better. I don't have a favorite. Here's an extra lollipop. Don't tell your other sibling. Oh, you think I'm a horrible parent? Sinners. So anyway, they took him and they threw him overboard. If you read this, it will always cost you more. It says they threw him overboard and the raging sea grew calm. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. You know, as I close, the keys can come back. But, you know, one of the things that I think about here is even in the midst of having to teach Jonah a lesson, God provided, he was still the God of provision. Some people go, oh my goodness, he had to live inside the belly of a whale for that long? That is disgusting. Actually, being inside the belly was provision for not drowning. Being inside the belly was provision from not getting hypothermia, not dealing with all the cold, not dealing with all the things that may have happened from sitting in the water all that time. God's provision doesn't always look like we want it to look like, but he's still Jehovah Jireh. Don't complain. Yeah, don't complain about perhaps the whale in your life that you consider a problem, when actually God's going, if you knew, if I hadn't provided this to sustain you, if you knew what you'd really be dealing with. Not every problem is a problem. Sometimes a problem can be a provision. It just depends on what lens you're looking through. But as we close, what is Tarshish? What is the thing you know is pulling you away from trusting and obeying God? What is the thing you find yourself running away to try and avoid God's word in that area of your life? What is your Tarshish? None of us are perfect. We all have our struggles in life, and we know we deal with selfishness. And rather than having the discipline to follow God's word, his Nineveh for our life, we're starting to run towards Tarshish. So I want you to, everyone, just close your eyes. You've got to identify what the Tarshish is in your life. What is it that is pulling you from God's best? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's fame and success. Maybe it's a reputation issue. Maybe it's security for the fear of lack. Maybe it's sexual immorality or pornography. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's anger. I don't know what you're dealing with. But why are we choosing second best? I want to pray for people right here and right now to break the hold of Tarshish that has a hold over you. I want to break your gaze on the things that your flesh desires so that God can refix it to his best for your life. Refix your eyes, reset your eyes, reposition your gaze to focus on that what God's called you to, not what the world condones. You know who you are in this moment. God, I pray right now, everyone thinking of the thing that has a stronghold of their life, thinking of the thing that is their runaway lane, the place that they're trying to head to get away from your best, the thing that draws them, the thing that the world has condoned. Father, I speak against that thing. I pray right now that they would open their hearts to hear your word again, fresh and anew, so that they would change course. They would let the hold of Tarshish be broken over them, Lord God, and they would reset their gaze on your Nineveh for their life, that they would repurpose themselves to go after the thing that you created them for, no matter how hard it looks, because you truly are with them.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.